Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope to meet and shape your needs as a consumer in the marketplace.
Hello, and welcome to the Bistro Podcast, where we discuss a variety of topics with industry-leading experts to share the latest trending consumer insights with you. I'm your host, Elena Spinola, and today we're going to dive deeper into a conversation on the retail industry to help give us a better understanding as to who is driving consumer spending, what we're spending our money on, and how the marketplace is adjusting. We'll do this today by discussing some of our highest-rated retail episodes from the last year. We hope this conversation helps to empower you to be smarter, savvier shoppers all year long. Joining me to walk through these highlights is Nona Finn, Project Director of BBB National Programs with Podcasts. Nona, thanks for joining me here today.
Elaine, thank you for having me. I am so happy to be here to sort of journey back on the world of retail that we dove into over the last year, particularly now as we are watching sort of the climate of the retail industry evolve, adjust, sort of forcibly be transformed right before our eyes as we see openings and closings and just kind of having our eyes on the pulse of what's going to happen next in the world of retail. And we're going to be discussing that, I think, in September on our podcast on the Better series. So I am so glad to kind of take a look back before we dive into the nuts and bolts of what is going on in the world of retail.
Exactly. These insights will be awesome because we had these conversations with these experts. And again, things are changing so fast. And it's great to kind of recap, like, what were they sharing? What were those insights? And honestly, Nona, it's changed so much in the last 5 years. There's such a dramatic shift, even as I think about myself as a consumer, the way I shopped 5 and 10 years ago when I had little kids and they were babies and I had to get all that baby stuff and I had to drive really far to those stores and buy the strollers and diapers. I mean, now, Amazon Prime.
Aren't you a little jealous?
Yes.
I was like, listen, when I was buying diapers, it would be nice to have that on a subscription.
Just
like,
show up at my house, cousin. You know I'm going to need them every couple
every
weeks.
Every month, just bring me a new box.
It is so different and it's awesome. And it's a great innovation. And it's really, again, great to hear from these experts about these insights because it helps us all as consumers. It helps marketers. It helps everyone. And it's a great conversation.
Great point.
Again, you know, one of the biggest notable differences is that consumers have the option to search for deals and compare prices right from the comfort of their home.
Mm-hmm.
It makes such a difference in the way that I think and the way that I make my buying decisions. And we're also going to talk about the types of things we're spending our money on. Again, we had National Retail Federation come on. They've done studies and they're really giving us a great understanding of what's happening in the marketplace, who is doing the shopping, what are they spending? And we're going to talk about all of that. Now, one thing I thought was interesting was who is doing the majority of spending. That's one thing that hasn't really changed too much since the beginning of time. Of course, men do a lot of shopping, children do shopping, but, you know, when we had an episode on women purchasing power, what we learned is that they are doing the majority of the shopping, and Nona, they always have.
Yeah.
You and I are both, you know, we're both working mothers. We're in the workforce, we're at home, and, you know, obviously you and I are both very well aware that, you know, we're doing the majority of the spending in our household. We're making those decisions. And experts agree. Again, they have traditionally always been making the majority of household spending decisions. The stats show that $20 trillion in worldwide spending is controlled by women. And that's $15 trillion in the U.S. alone. And so let's start today's conversation with a highlight from our episode on women's purchasing power with guest Susan Dobsha from Bentley University.
Sure. So $20 trillion in worldwide spending is controlled by women. And the estimates are kind of broad, but upwards of $15 trillion of that is just in the United States. So just sort of showing our role in the global economy and also the power that women have in the U.S. economy in terms of controlling of the spending. And women control 60% of all personal wealth in the U.S.
Wow.
And they purchase over 90% of all home purchases. But what's interesting about that is it's not just home purchases that we would expect. So like 93% of food is purchased by women. But also, interestingly enough, 92% of vacations are purchased by women. 91% of new homes are purchased by women, which, and that doesn't mean that they're purchasing them by themselves. It means that they're driving the purchasing decision. But even interestingly, in traditional male products like autos, home improvement products, and electronics, women purchase over 50% of those products. While 85% of all consumer purchases are done by women, they also are controlling the purse strings in terms of what we would view as traditional male products like shopping at Home Depot or consumer electronics or even purchasing cars.
You know, Elaine, I love this clip and I love this episode overall because I think it just brings an awareness to, like what you said, it's just sort of been the way it's been, where women have great purchasing power. They are the CFOs of their homes. And I think we've just seen sort of great examples of it over the last several years. I look at the African-American community and I look at the beauty industry and how just as a community, we have just said, hey, we're going to redefine beauty. And because that voice has been loud and clear, not just in speaking terms, but in dollar terms, then the retail industry had to adjust how beauty is defined, how it's depicted. I remember moving in my area, which is a wonderful, diverse area, but it didn't cater a lot to me and the products I needed for my skin, for my hair. And I go into a certain retailer now where it was scarce to find anything that I could utilize. I would have to drive maybe 30 minutes away to get what I needed. And now there's a whole shelf and row for me that's in the beauty section and not the ethnic section. And it's just been a redefining of understanding the power that I as a female hold and need for my household.
Sure.
I think of even us as women getting to decide what food we're putting on the table.
Yes.
And even that has evolved and changed. Like, I no longer want to put junk on my table. I am demanding and commanding a different type. And so now the industry has to kind of step up and say, you know what? These women who are CFOs of their homes are saying they want these items and we have to adjust how we're doing things, even what kind of toys we're putting in front of our kids. I was looking at an interesting fact because I am one, you know, my household is me. I'm a single mom. I command my household. And there are the Census Bureau 2018 says there are 11 million last year, single parent household, and 80% of those were run by women. We're single mamas.
Sure.
And so, well, they're the ones in charge of that household. So from window change decision to the car that's parked in front of the house to the clothes that are being worn, that's who's owning the purchasing power of her home. And so I love that Susan just kind of reminded us. I think it was just a reminder because I don't know that it's new news.
Sure.
But I definitely believe it was a reminder to say, hey, this is a powerful community. Women, female consumers, watch them out. Their purses are more than just for decoration. There's power in those bags.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I truly love about doing these podcasts is that I'm getting educated myself and I'm able to have great conversation with the guests that come on. And I spoke with Susan a little bit off record,
yeah,
right? And one thing that she shared, and I'd love to have her back on the Bistro or Better Series.
Insight.
She's, you know, a wealth of knowledge. But one thing that she talked about is, as you said, women are making the decisions. But for a very long time, who was doing the marketing, right?
Mm.
Who were the marketers in these executive companies that were marketing the soap and the shampoo, right? Mostly they were men. She does female studies at the university where she is. And so this is what she talks about all day long. And it was really interesting to say, isn't that fascinating that women are buying, for example, razors to use on their legs, but all the commercials are like, these ladies
not
in bathing
really
suits,
to us,
swimming. And it's kind of like, okay, that's not quite what's going on in my house.
Not how I shave my legs.
Right. I'm not swimming with the beautiful hair cap, like with my friends laughing, right? And so it's just really interesting what she shared was things are changing and nothing has changed about the fact that women have always been kind of those leaders in the household, buying those family things, those items in the home. But things are changing behind the scenes in terms of the marketing, which is really interesting. I'd love to have her back.
Yeah, that's a great topic to speak to. We have to knock on her door.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Nona, now that we've discussed who is doing the majority of the shopping, and again, of course, men are doing plenty of shopping, and we'll talk about that too. But we're going to discuss how consumers are making their decisions, what they're spending their money on, and, you know, what time of year people are trying to take advantage of great retail incentives. Of course, again, this includes men and women. And let's not forget kids in the household who they have access to shopping apps. They definitely have are seeing shopping ads online when they are online, playing games or whatever. You know, last year we interviewed shopping and retail expert Sarah Hollenbach, who shared a lot of great stats. Let's take a listen to that.
Yeah, so year over year, we've seen that consumers are well-informed, they're strategic, and they're really comparison shoppers. Every single year, they get smarter and smarter. So no matter where they're shopping, consumers aren't just clicking on the lowest price when it comes to Black Friday and Cyber Monday. They're considering all their options before making a purchase. And our survey even showed that the quality of the product is a top factor in deciding when and where to purchase something. And this actually even comes before lowest price, because consumers would rather pay more for an item that will last than pay less for something that they're going to have to replace in a couple of years.
You know, I love this clip as well. I don't think there's any one of these clips that I just don't enjoy. But Sarah's insight was so great at just about how informative we are now as consumers. And again, I don't think this is new news, right? I think we just need to be more aware and just really acknowledge the fact that information highway has tons of exits, and we're all taking any exit at any given time to get access to the information we need to make better decisions and choices for our pocketbooks, for our personal economy. And so I love that she's just bringing that back up. Like, hey, technology has allowed us greater reach, allowed us all to be research experts. And so when we're ready to buy, we're not coming without any knowledge. I remember, you know, there was a time you needed to really spend real quality time with a salesperson. And depending on the purchase, you know, a car, that time looked very different how much you spent with the salesperson versus buying maybe a shirt. But there's questions you have, but now you can come with answers. You don't come just green to the car dealership or to the store anymore. You have that information. And word of mouth has completely evolved and changed. I remember there was just a time that meant your neighbor, your friend, your mom, your pops, your grandma, even your kids. Now it's strangers, because you go to review sites. They're leaving great insights for you. I make great DSW shoe decisions online by what the reviewers leave me based on the size shoes I need to buy. You know what? This runs long. Let me go one size down.
Yes.
You know, it's now strangers that are helping us be well-informed and helping us to make decisions about what we're going to buy.
I couldn't agree with you more. I do a lot of my shopping by reading the reviews. And sometimes if there's no reviews, I move to the next product.
Me too.
Because I want to know the real deal. What did someone think about this particular product, service even?
Yep.
Right? So I could not agree with you more. I think we've got another clip. Let's take a listen to that.
Today's shopper is smarter because of the myriad of technology and information that they have at their fingertips. Not only do they have access to thousands of retailers from anywhere in the world, they also have a community of online reviewers and experts that will offer them advice for how to shop smarter. So year over year, we've seen more shoppers holding off on purchases until they are able to do research, because they don't want to waste their time or money on a product that might not be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this convenience of technology, it doesn't even take that long to look up a quick review or see if there's a lower price at another store. So there's no reason that consumers wouldn't be doing this extra research, because it only benefits them.
Nona, another thing that Sarah noted was that tech toys are always one of the hottest items during Black Friday every year. But we also learned that tech items in general, they also top the list every year for back-to-school shoppers.
Yes.
In fact, out of the combined total spending for school and college, which reached approximately $82.8 billion last year. First of all, can you even wrap your mind around that amount of money?
No.
But one of the biggest budget items, especially for college students, was electronics. That's not exactly, new news, but it's just the amount of money is astounding. We had Catherine Cullen, Director of Industry and Consumer Insights from the National Retail Federation. She joined us around this time last year to share some really great insights. Let's talk more about that, especially since back-to-school shopping is literally around the corner.
Yeah. You know, that number is mind-blowing to me. You know, one thing that Catherine left with us last year when she was on the show is that the school shopping is the second biggest shopping season of the year behind the holidays. That is amazing.
Well,
to
the fact
me.
That we're calling it a season, season.
Just amazing. And, you know, it's funny because I kind of treat it that way. I kind of avoid the stores. Like, the closer it gets to going back to school, I don't go into the store because I know it's going to be overcrowded, overwhelming, particularly in that school supply office section. And there's actually maybe some pulling and tugging on some things. Like, wait, my hand was on this first. I mean, it literally starts to feel like holiday shopping.
Yeah.
I focus more on what I can get online
so
that I can avoid those moments. And so just to hear her make that comparison was just like, wow, what in the world? And so I'm not surprised either. As I get that list in front of me, it does all start to rack up a bit. I was like, do you really need 10 of these?
Right. Right. Do we need them? Or is that what the ads are telling you
exactly.
you need?
When is that tax-free day coming up again? That's when we'll go back to school shopping. So it was just really alarming. And I love that she also shared, and even some insight on their site now, is that, hey, you know, parents kind of use the 4th of July holiday, Prime Day, which we know is coming up, that to really say, you know what, let's just wait for these moments to buy school back to school, to go back to school shopping, get our supplies that we need.
Yeah.
Because we need the deals, because
yeah.
that is just how expensive it's become, that we need the deals.
Right.
And so I'm like, wow, this really does start to feel a little bit like holiday shopping, because I plan to start holiday shopping on Prime Day.
Oh, there you go. Oh, there you go. You know what we do? We drive to Florida every year for vacation, and we stop at the outlets. And I'm like, okay, we're going to need new school shoes in a couple months. Let's buy them here and now, because, you know, we're here and now.
Yes.
And that's where we can get the great deals. But yeah, that amount of money for back to school is astounding. Now, I know that the tech toys and tech products, not the toys exactly, but all of those tech items, those
yes.
are expensive. And that guy, you know, has a large part to do with how expensive, you know, this all gets. But yeah, let's listen to another clip here that we heard last year from Catherine.
The back to class season is one of the largest, both in terms of total spend and what people will spend on average per household. In fact, back to school and college shoppers will spend more on average per household than people will spend on average for Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, and Father's Day combined.
Wow.
So it's definitely an exciting and important season. But getting back to that $1 billion number, so this year we're seeing some really strong indicators around total spending. We're expecting total spend for both college and back to school to reach about $82.8 billion, which is very much in line with what we saw last year and is very positive for the season and for the industry.
You know, it's like Adam mentioned, those staggering numbers. And I tell you, like I mentioned, it is really a moment where I just treat it like it's the holiday season. Just not only do I avoid stores, and not only is online my saving grace, but I make purchases throughout the year as well. Like in January, if I see a box of crayons for 50 cents, I'll pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, crayons are crayons. I don't care how much they cost. Crayons are crayons.
If I'm at the dollar store for something and I happen
yes.
to see a couple composition notebooks, I'll pick up a few because I just know it's coming. I just prepare for it. It's just coming. So I treat it like it's the holiday season. And just throughout the year, my eyes are on it because it's needed now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love the tips that she shared because, you know, between the clothes, the shoes, the school supplies, electronics, you know, I know that back to school shopping is a really important time for retailers. Again, we're calling it a season of retail shopping. And Americans do spend a lot of money in the beginning of every school year. But again, not everyone has that big budget to spend. And I thought it was really great that Catherine shared some really, really great for consumers on a budget. Let's take another listen to some of those tips right now.
How much earlier back to school shopping is starting than it used to. And one reason it's starting earlier is because people know that there are going to be great deals all summer long, and they want to get ahead of them and capture them before those deals pass on. So right now we're in the middle of Black Friday in July and Amazon Prime events, and we see that often as a kickoff to the school season. So I would tell people, really watch for those deals. Don't let them pass by. Know that some of the best deals may actually be coming early in the season rather than waiting till the last minute.
Thank you, Catherine, for the tips, because I am a huge believer in deals. I believe thy shall find the best deal. That is just what it should be. You know, Elaine, with my busy schedule, that seems to just get busier and busier every day. One thing that I took advantage of this year, I think probably about a month ago, I bought a back to school supply kit through my PTA. And so I just feel relieved right now that that is not on my list.
That has got to be one of like the worst scavenger hunts ever, by the way. So whoever created those supply kits, I
we
love
should
you.
Have them on.
We
the
should
show.
Have them on. I mean, we just need to highlight those achievements
yes.
because first of all, they want like a very specific glue. No
yeah.
one has it.
And the pencil.
And no one has it.
The pencil
Do
brand.
You know that no one has it? Where am I
pencil
supposed to get
brand.
That purple glue? Whatever
scissor
it is.
Brand. I'm like, why can't we just take any scissors? I just don't understand. But the kit is all prepared with that good stuff. So now I only have to focus on clothes and shoes, which really helps to eliminate probably about 70% of the journey. money there. Right. So I'm almost there.
We hope that people are able to listen to these tips and apply them to their life, take advantage of all of the great things that we've learned here. And we really, really hope that you enjoyed this retail recap episode of The Bistro again, which highlighted some of our most popular retail episodes. We hope these conversations informed and inspired you to be more savvier shoppers all year long. Make sure you subscribe to The Bistro on iTunes to hear the full episodes of the highlighted clips we shared today, as well as our other episodes as well. Nona, we'd like to thank you for joining us on this episode.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Sure. And we want to thank our listeners for listening. On behalf of BBB National Programs, I'm Elena Spinola, host of The Bistro podcast, and it has been a pleasure discussing better business and retail trends with you.
You just enjoyed the Bistro podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTL programs. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@bbbnp.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guest, not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.